Philip of Macedonia, Prince Alexander, Part 2, Bucephalus. Now, we are not told how much or little time the prince spent with the other boys his age. Friends who became ever more prominent during his reign are often declared the friends of his childhood. Now, that's possible, and probably likely, but never attested to by the sources. Similarly, we assume that once he was old enough, Alexander learned alongside the other royal pages, or at least with selected members of the corps. Although, once again, we are never told whether this did or didn't happen. As an adult, he displayed considerable skill at arms, understanding of tactics and drill, as well as superb horsemanship, all of which were the product of long practice. We cannot be sure of the context of all of this. The most famous story about Alexander's childhood is the taming of the horse Bucephalus, which, whether or not Plutarch's account is true, celebrated his ingenuity, immense self-confidence, and skill as a rider. There is no firm date, although a good guess would place him at about the age of 12. A Thessalian merchant had come to Philip's court, bringing with him a large stallion called Bucephalus, or Oxhead, sometimes a generic name, or perhaps a reference to the shape, size, and markings of the animal's head. The horse was magnificent, tall and dark, and the man asked an immense sum of 13 talents for him, far more than the cost recorded for any other mount in the ancient world. Philip was interested, but when his grooms tried to put Bucephalus through his paces, he refused any control, would let no one stay on his back, and seemed to be unbroken and perhaps unbreakable. The king decided that such a horse was not worth buying. His son, however, Alexander, had a different opinion, saying loudly that they were losing a great horse because it didn't know how to handle him properly. Philip ignored him, but young Alexander would not let the matter go and keep telling his father, the grooms, and anyone else in earshot that they were all making a big mistake. The king demanded to know whether the boy thought he knew better than his horse-loving elders. The boy replied he could manage that horse better than anyone else. His father turned it into a challenge and a wager, something no doubt in common at court, asking his son what would he pay if he lost the bet. Alexander pledged the 13 talents price, asked for the stallion, and amid amused laughter, the stakes were set. Plutarch told the story in some detail. Quote, Alexander ran to the horse, took hold of his bridle rein, and turned him towards the sun, for he had noticed that the horse was greatly disturbed by the sight of his own shadow falling in front of him and dancing about. He then spoke to the horse, stroked his head before finally putting down his own cloak and jumping on the Bucephalus's back, gently, making sure he did not put enough pressure on the reins to make the bit dig into the animal's mouth. He rode gently, but when he saw that the horse was rid of the fear and was impatient, he gave the horse his head and at last urged him with a sterner tone and thrust of foot. Philip went from fear for his son's safety to tearful pride as Alexander galloped away before turning and coming back. The king kissed his son and then supposedly told him that Macedonia was too small for him, so that he would have to find a greater realm. The praise sounds suspiciously like later invention. Bucephalus, of course, became famous as Alexander's favorite horse, although periodically, in art, it's shown as white, when in fact it was black. Ridden in all the key battles, and his death in India marked by the founding of a city, Bucephalia, so people would want to believe that their first meeting was dramatic. Yet the story is plausible in itself. Horses can spook at the oddest things, although his own shadow seemed inadequate for this on its own. Perhaps the strange environment of so much attention and noise and other strange horses about made Bucephalus nervous, and his own and other shadows of people and cloaks made it worse. Some horses do not take strong likes and indeed dislikes to individual humans in a way that is hard to explain. There's nothing odd about the stallion and Alexander being attracted to each other. The boy's calmness, soothing the animal with sounds and touch before he mounted, then collecting the animal before riding off, are all good practice. It is a story that could be true, and anyone of sentiment will feel it ought to be true, which of course does not mean that it actually is. At this point, Philip supposedly decided that his son was too stubborn to be compelled, so it was better to persuade him rather than command him to take on more education. And of course, I would point out to you that one of the things that Alexander did as his forces expanded out through the known world was he began to have all of the war horses trained animals. Elephants, for example. A horse that is attacking a group of people where they have animals they've never seen or smelled or heard can be spooked very easily. And of course, this happened when they came up against elephants later on with Porus in India. And so that's a very important point. So this is the famous story of Bucephalus. And now we're going to finally bring real teacher into the play. Here comes Aristotle. Now the sources for this, the Politics by Aristotle, the Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and the Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.